Ms. Sandra.
My name is Sandra, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Sandra.
And I was surprised that he called me Sandra instead of Sandra. The thing is today is that, that even if he had called me Sandra, it would have been all right. But my name is Sandra, and I'm an addict. And even after I stopped using, I still had the disease of addiction. In fact, it took me a while to understand that my using had caused any problems in my life. I was here for about 3 years, and every time I had to say the word, "My name is Sandra and I'm an addict," I cried. Somehow I had missed that the first step said that I was powerless over the disease of addiction. Anyway, the disease kept going on, and it's kind of ironic that the person that I'm sharing this workshop with is one of the people that gave me the key to finding some balance. And what he told me 16 years ago was that I needed to practice the 12 steps in my life. Notice I didn't say work the 12 steps. I said practice and live the 12 steps in my life. And what that means is that I have to live surrender. I have to live and walk by faith. I have to make decisions about my life at all times. As I said, the disease kept going, and I really found out that I had the disease of addiction at that first year when I stopped smoking cigarettes. Now, when I stopped smoking cigarettes at about 2 weeks, I was mean and mad, and there was a drive that was going on inside of me, and I didn't know what to do with it. I understood then that what I was dealing with. I went to meetings real early, and the whole of my early years in here, it was trying to find just the right meeting to go to at just the right time, because I'm not one of these people that came in wishing my life was different from what it was. I mean, I wished that it was, but it wasn't. Where my life was is that when I got here, I had a 4-year-old handicapped child, and I had to deal. I had been diagnosed at 18 years old with the disease of depression, and I felt really bad coming out of treatment, being sicker than other people. I had been on medication for a lot of years, and I made a decision to not take medication. And as I said, what that meant then, because I didn't want to be different from you people. I was different enough, I felt. And what that meant then was that I had to deal. And early on, I went to meetings following him. He said that the steps was how you finally got some kind of balance. I needed to know how to parent a handicapped child, because y'all had told me what I was. You told me that I was an addict. And you told me then that if I practice these principles, I'd find out who I am. And who I am is that I'm a good, loving person. I have a very good career. I'm a mother of a child with special needs. And I have to be able to deal. And as I said, I have the disease of depression, from which I had to take medication for a lot of years. So what I had to do was come in here and begin to live by the principles of this program. Now, I'm not telling you that when my turn to get credit cards came that I didn't get 14, because I did. They made the mistake and gave me credit cards, and I got 14. So I'm not telling you that the disease didn't progress with that. But I'm telling you, with trying to find some kind of balance in my life, it was like when to go to meetings. Y'all saying here 90 and 90. Well, y'all, I have not been to 90 and 90. That just was not possible in my life. I had a child that needed to go to bed at a certain time, so I tried to figure out if a 5 o'clock meeting in the evening was good. I tried to figure out if an 8:30 meeting was good, because y'all said I had to go to meetings every day. And thank God that when I came here, you all didn't send me to, or he didn't send me, because he played a real big part in my recovery. He didn't send me to open discussions. He sent me to the step meetings that he was going to. And I began to learn from everybody around what their whole concept and how they incorporated and they practiced the step or the particular step that we were on in their everyday affairs. Because that's what we did in the step meetings we went to. We took our everyday situations and tried to apply it to the steps. And that's how we shared with each other. So, as I said, I tried to find what meetings was the best meeting to go to so that I could go to a meeting and I could parent my child. My daughter does not know anything about my using, but my daughter used to cry when I would leave her. My daughter came up in these rooms. She's 20 years old today, so... she spent her early years in these rooms showing me how to interact with you people. Because she didn't have a problem with the fact that she couldn't talk to be able to escort somebody up to the first row. Maybe a lot of you all have seen her out here in the last day or so on that scooter going up and down the parking lot and all. And last year when we was here, she went to everything that they had. She was in the kitty cabaret. And I mean, she don't have the disease like I do. See, my disease will tell me that I don't need to talk to you all, or I don't need to let you all know, because it's up to me to protect myself. And my daughter don't have that disease. So I was the person who had to try and get better, and it wasn't on me to drag her to meetings. So eventually I stopped dragging my daughter to meetings. This program says that if we attend meetings regularly, we stay clean. I am regularly a part of a group, and what they told me some years ago when I got ready to get up out of that treatment program because I had had enough, they told me then that I may be able to make it, but I couldn't keep it if I couldn't give it back. And I had a sponsor that told me, since I had such women issues, and God blessed me with three girls, that I could get better if I started trying to help you sisters. So that's what started to happen for me. In 1985, I became a part of the H&I subcommittee, and finally getting a job, because eventually, y'all, I got a job. When I first got here, the only thing that I had to do was take care of my child. Eventually, it wasn't enough that I needed to do something else to feel better about me as a human being. So the kind of person that I am, I have ego that I'm working with. I have vanity that I'm working with. And it was just no way that I was going to work in no Popeyes. I had no skills, so I made a decision even then. I said I made a decision to not take medication. I made a decision to go to school. And I went to nursing school. And while I was there, I was grateful for the opportunity up at UDC to be able to start a meeting up there at noon. So this is how I got my meetings. I also, like I said, became a part of the H&I subcommittee. So it was only one night a week that I had that I would have to be out, because I was able to do my meetings at 12 o'clock. I set up my school schedule around that. And at home, I could do homework and take care of my child. The H&I subcommittee meeting, my family kept my child while I was able to go over to jail. And I went over to jail for 13 years. They kept my child that one day a week. So I was away from home just that one day a week. And by doing that, I have been able to be a parent. My life is not just about the living in these rooms. It's about the living on the outside of it. And I'm not telling you that over the 16 years, things have not happened in my life, because it have. I got here with one of the things going on was that my child required so much of me to get to a point where I'm truly grateful that I have the child that I have in my life, because she allowed me to grow up. And that's what the whole thing of finding balance is all about. It's about, it's okay for me to be an addict. See, it was a time that I felt so bad and was so embarrassed about that. And what the disease of addiction tells me is that I have an obsessive and compulsive disease. And if I'm not careful, anything that I'll compulse off of. Sisters, I stayed out of a relationship in here to get to 12 years clean, met a man in these rooms, and it all became about the getting and the using of the man. The disease still go on. And it was all about, if you just do this, you'll make me happy. I didn't understand that even at 12 years, or I understood, but I didn't realize how the disease keeps going on. And that's one of the reasons that I have to keep staying in here. I have to keep surrendering on a daily basis. I have to keep in mind what I am. Who I am today is that I'm a registered nurse. I'm a person who is a committed member of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm a damn good mother. I'm a good friend. I'm a good sponsor. I'm a good sponsee. Those are the things of who I am. But what I am is that I have the disease of addiction, and I can self-destruct at any given moment. And what I'll do if I self-destruct is I mutilate myself. I tear me down worse than anybody else in here. You all could never do to me what I have done to myself with beating me up and falling short of what I think that you think that I should be. The blessing about this program is this program has given me some freedom with that, to whereas that I can put a halt on some of it sometimes. I sang with a choir, and for a person who has a terrible ego, who just need to be seen all of the time, the addiction took off with that. It was like our choir director, I had to look better than he did at all times. And I looked up one day, and I had two closets full of clothes. And for every uniform that we had to wear, I had about three or four. And some of them still had tags on them after 3 years. The disease keep going on. I told you all about the 14 credit cards, because I've had to say to sponsees, you know, we don't need to, you know. No, I'll share my experience with you. They gave me 14 credit cards, and when I looked up, I had to pay them all. I don't have the luxury of filing bankruptcy, y'all. I own property in this since I've been here. I've acquired some things. I bought some apartment buildings. And you just can't file bankruptcy. You know what I'm saying? So that ain't an option for me. So for 5 years, I paid off 14 credit cards, and I'm down to one now. That's the balance. You know, but I had to understand just how the disease of addiction took hold of my life. As I was telling you all about the man, and it was all about him, and if he just did this, did I be happy? Of course, he did what he needed to do for him. And I bottomed out. I had to be totally humiliated to bottom out because I really just wanted him, if he would just stop messing with me, you know, that way I don't have to make a decision. But if I go back to the third step says that I need to make a decision. And the decision all of the time, it's about my life. If I understand that God is going to take care of me, if I understand what it is that I'm working with when I talk about what I am and how it's going to play in my behavior, I can tolerate not having instant gratification. And that's where you find balance. But you have to go on with this program. Sometimes when we do the H&I meetings and we go to treatment centers and they say, oh, those people don't need any more than 1, 2, 3. I don't agree with that. I had to be exposed even before I got it to all 12 of the steps. I had to be exposed to them. I had to start thinking about them. I had to start trying to practice what they said the principles was. And in doing that, what it does for me is that when the intensity of a feeling come, I can do something other than being caught up in the grips of obsession. Because if I feel bad, I want to change how I feel. So if I can do something different because I can surrender right now when it get intense, and I went through the most humiliating feelings that I could have ever gone through in here with dealing with this guy at 12 years in recovery. I got totally humiliated, and it was like, you know, people, what is people going to think? I'm a sucker. I didn't ever want to be a sucker. Because I did a lot of things for him. And what I came up with is that, damn, he must have felt more about, or he cared more about somebody else than he did about the person that was always doing something for him. And what was people going to think about me if they knew it? And I had to surrender with that because I pulled the knife out and I was getting ready to stab him. See, I'm one of these people that tantrum, that burn shit up, that break shit up, that cut shit up, that shoot shit up. I do all of that because I don't know how to control anger. And what happened just in that instance when I picked up the knife, God said 182920. In 1901, D Street became very vivid. Because that's what my story is all about. My story is all about that I tantrum, I act out, I go to 1901 D Street Southeast. And for those people who are not from Washington, D.C., that's the D.C. jail. And I just busted the door down for years and years until I surrendered. And once I surrendered to the disease, I have not been back in over 16 years. I surrendered. So the balance in all of that is to be hit with that kind of pain, to go through a shutdown. Because, see, I go into emotional overload, and God has been able to, or God, what God does for me is God just helped me just totally shut down with it. And then I started fighting my way back up out of it. And I went to my friend. My friend is known to cut people. And she said, leave that man alone, girl, or you're going to be right back over there at 1901 D Street. And then I said, God, tell me what I'm supposed to learn from this. And what began to happen is that I began to be revealed to me once again what I am and how I react to situations and how for real I wanted that man to be responsible for my happiness, to find out and to know that I'm the one that's responsible for it. So what ended up happening is for a minute, I just was in overload and I found myself not being able to get my daughter off to school. And at 12 years of being clean, I had to go back on medication for a minute. But it was just a minute, y'all. It was long enough to start practicing these principles in all my affairs again. And starting to walk by faith again, because that's where the balance come from, walking by faith. And I started to do what and share with people what's going on with me. Yes, I was humiliated. Yes, I was embarrassed. But I started letting people know what's going on with me and where I am. And I do that ongoingly. I care what you think about it, but I'm fighting for my life. And I want to live a whole lot more than if I think you feel badly or think badly of me. I think, you know, it bothers me, or I think about whether you think that I'm practicing these principles to your expectations. But I want to live a whole lot more than I care about what you think about me today. This program has been the best thing that has happened to me. I got 5 minutes. I learned to talk in here, so it was kind of strange. Last year I did the 10th step with somebody else that played a part in my being here. And his was with a resentment, you know, because and he said, well, I don't know why they allowed her to do this step with me, because I could have did the 10th step by myself. You know, so this was what I needed. What I've learned today is that God gives you the things that you need to get better. And all you got to be is open enough to receive it. Get a recovery goal. That's what I did when I got here. I had to have a goal for recovery. If recovery did not afford me to be able to be a good parent, to have a career, to have a wholesome life, then what did I need with it? I don't need to just be in here with you all. So if you said, then again, I'm going to tell you something. I planned to tell you all after some years that I wasn't like y'all in the first place. That's why it didn't work for me. So I was supposed to be out of here about three or four years after I got here. But somehow I've stayed around over 16 years. Every year I'm out of here. It's another year. It's another reason to stay. And I don't have to be. I found my little niche. My little niche is that I can go to DC jail every week. That's my little niche. So if you don't see me at every convention or at every big meeting, I don't go to the Uptown no more. I don't go to whatever they have up there, the Reeves Club or this place. And I don't do those things anymore. My daughter don't like them. She like eating meetings. She's not going to anything other than an eating meeting, and that's it. She say, Ma, I'll go to an anniversary if it's an eating meeting, and if it's not, I ain't going. You know. So the only place that I really have to be visible is to be in service. And that's what I'm in. And so I get the opportunity to manage a dialysis unit 40 hours a week, and sometimes that get hard because I'm salaried, and salary means that they can work you 90 hours and only pay you for 40. So it's not up to them to say, oh, you can go home. It's up to me to put some kind of balance with that whole thing, you know, so I can set up my work for what I have to do and come in there and do it in 40 hours a week and go home and do the things that I need to do with my family and my children. I struggled for a minute with my older children and trying to make amends by taking care of them, and they was whooping me. It was killing me every time that I got up and went to work and my 30-some-year-old daughter was laying there at home and riding off to Nemus and Marcus and buying herself all of this nice stuff, you know what I'm saying, and I'm providing a place for her to stay. I had to recognize that it was okay to say no to your family, because they was making me sick. They was wearing me down with that. And it was that I wanted them to change instead of me being the person to have to say, no, I cannot do that. But if I practice these principles in all of my affairs, it teaches me how to say no to some things. And if for those people who said that they needed to find balances, learn how to say no to yourself about some things. You don't have to have, if you believe in a higher power, you don't have to have what it is that you want right now. I read in a book once about that we were people who could not eat a piece of cake without eating the icing first. And it said that we needed to learn how to eat the cake and then the icing. If you're looking for some balance in your life, learn how to eat the cake and then eat the icing. Believe this, if God brought you to this far, if you don't have what you want right now, believe this, if you want it, you can achieve it. Just takes a minute. And it ain't gonna kill you. It won't kill you to go through. Go to meetings, listen to people talk about going through. People go through illnesses, they go through deaths, they go through anything that you can imagine in here. And they go through, and I have a young lady that's a part of my life that I watched get a degree one credit at a time. And it was like, wow, one credit at a time. And then she looked up and she had that degree. That's what this program will do for you. And that's what this whole thing about balance and wholeness and wellness is all about. That's what normal people do. They go through one day at a time. And the key with going through one day at a time is making the best of just that day. If I can be as happy as I can be today with all of the situations that are going on in my life, I have achieved something. One I don't use, and I start looking for the good worse than the worst part of it. I don't look at the cup half empty. And I know that no matter what the intensity of the emotion that I'm feeling, tomorrow is going to be a new day and it's not going to be as heavy. So if you're looking for some balance, start dealing with faith first. If you deal with some faith, it's okay to make decisions about your life. And it's okay to claim stuff. And I'm going to excuse myself because in dealing with balance, I have a banquet to go to and I have a child that I have to get dressed so that we can go to it. So I'm going to excuse myself, and I'm going to tell Butch I love him, and I'm sorry that I'm not going to be able to hear him. But he know that my heart is there. So I'll buy the CD.
Thanks for sharing, baby. Again, I'm an addict. My name's Alfred. And I want to welcome everybody again to the Finding a Balance workshop. And for our second speaker, we got Butch.
Good evening, y'all. My name is Butch and I'm an addict. And let me lean these things up before I bump my face right into them. Oh, boy. I was sitting there. Oh, okay. I was sitting there. When other people are talking, I'm trying to hear them and think all at the same time. And at my age, that don't work very well. I did tell y'all who I was, didn't I? Yeah, that goes with age too. In order for me to talk about balance, I have to talk about imbalance. A lot of people I'm one of these guys who is made out of curiosity. I guess that's why I stayed on drugs so long too. I used 25 years of my life only to find out that prior to my own investigation that I didn't realize I was killing myself until I was almost dead. So now, when I came into the program in 76, it was told to me, you know, some people say we get suggestions, but it was told to me, Butch, you better start investigating what's being said to you and what you understand and how you interpret it. Now, I didn't in the beginning equate that to balance because one of the things that when I came in emotionally, I was thinking about one thing. I'm tired. But what I found out is that I had to understand what being unbalanced was in order to be balanced. Anything I put more in my life of than another thing, I become unbalanced. And what I mean is when I started to using drugs, my whole objective at that time was to feel good all the time. That's not balance. When I became what I became over a period of 25 years, going back and forth to jail, psych wards, and all other things that goes along with active addiction, that's imbalance. I could not maintain a manner of being happy and continue to use day after day after day and thinking that something good was going to come about it within that kind of situation. So I began to understand that my active addiction, at least that part of it, was imbalance for me because I was always reaching for the sunshine on the outside instead of looking on the inside. So I found out by my own experiences that somewhere along the line, this picture is not coming together because you're doing one thing to try to do one thing. And in balance, when I looked up, matter of fact, I looked the word up too. And I'm a guy, I do something else. When I was told what I was going to have to speak on today, I don't know whether any of you do this or not, but I like to watch those animal shows, those nature shows, and I watch them all the time. I watch those nature shows all the time. And most of the time, the narrator, when he's talking about these animals, he's talking about balance. He talks about how Mother Nature has a balance. But in that balance, what I see is I see things growing. I see things getting killed. I see things going through pain. I see things going through sorrow. But I also see things growing up to mature. And when I started equating that with my life, I began to understand what this process of recovery means to me. Now, when I got here, and y'all told me, and I keep saying told because that's what was happening with me back then, they told me, but you're going to have to understand what these steps mean to you. Sandra was right. They didn't tell me to work anything either. All they told me is, man, read it until it begins to make sense to you. Then I started noticing numbers. Like I said, I started investigating things that were going to help me to survive in the beginning because that's what it was, survival for me. I didn't know anything about this thing becoming a spiritual journey or the kind of thing that was going to make me feel good about myself later on. All I knew is that now I'm in the pro. As a matter of fact, I had been right here about 5 times before and I didn't stay. So I knew a little bit about what you were doing, but I didn't see any balance in that. Matter of fact, I didn't even use that word. My definition of balance at that time was something that was going smooth, straight across, where nothing happened and I was going to be all right. And I know right now a lot of us think that way. Once I get balanced, things are going straight ahead, straight down the line, and I'm all right. I'm here to tell you, that's not balance either. Not according to Mother Nature, not according to this fellowship, and not according to your active addiction, and not according to you being clean today. Because what I found out when I get clean, yeah, I'm going to experience some balance, but it's going to be some painful balance I'm going to experience now. Because all the things that I didn't do before, I'm going to do them now, whether I like it or not. That means all the hostilities, all the abandonment issues, all these things that kept me unbalanced all those years, I'm going to face these things now, and that means that I'm going to get in balance. Because what balance means now is living life on life's terms. I can't duck it anymore. I got to look it straight on. I get some smooth days. I get some days where I don't know what the hell is going on. And then some days I'm so high my feet ain't even on the ground. And then some days I can sit on a dime and swing my legs. That's just how bad I feel some days. And some people say, that's not balanced because I feel bad. Don't let your emotions fool you. Because one of the things my head will tell me to die. My emotions will tell me to die. But my heart will always tell me, stand up, man. Because you are trying to grow up, and this is what it takes to grow up. Have you ever noticed that everything we look at comes in even numbers? When I first got in this fellowship, I did some investigating about the other fellowship to find out where this fellowship came from. And also, I found out that first there were 6 steps, but the number 6 is an even number. Then they added 6 more. 12 is an even number. Everything we're doing here has got an even number. So what they're trying to tell you is that this thing must form a full circle or it ain't going to work. So if you are half-stepping, if you 3-stepping, 2-stepping, 4-step, or whatever stepping you're doing, if you don't fill a circle, guess what? You're going to be out of what? Out of balance. If you come in, get clean, and practice the same behavior that you practiced before you got clean, you are out of what? You are out of balance. If you wonder why you have so much turmoil in your life, that's why. And it's not personal, it's just business. See, when I stopped using, my addiction said, okay, you're not using. Fine. That's great. Now I'm going to kick your hind parts. All that stuff you left back here? Oh, no, bro. You're going to get this check. What we're going to do is we're going to write it in small bits. We're not going to give you the check that you mailed out. Because if I got the check I mailed out, this would be over now. Y'all got me? Y'all with me? So what I'm saying is when I think about balance, I think about a cycle of things happening in order to get me from one spot to another. I found out, I hear people say, I'm stagnated. Nothing is stagnated. You may not feel the movement, but something's happening. Believe me, if you sit still long enough, your brain don't never stop. Even while you sleep, it's thinking of some shit to do. And it ain't all good, it's thinking about doing. Have you ever woke up mad in the morning and wonder why you wake up? I ain't been nowhere. Why am I pissed off all of a sudden? Because all that stuff you thinking while you sleep, you're out of balance again. But it ain't personal. I have to keep saying that. It ain't personal. And the reason why I say that, because I took everything personal. Because I am the kind of an addict, and I'm not going to exclude you, but I'm just saying I'm the kind of addict who operates off his feeling. Whatever makes me feel good, that's what I'm going with. I'll count the consequences later. If it make me feel good now, I don't think about what's going to happen to me later. And that's the way it started. And that's without the drug. See, when I was using, it was one thing. I was giving it to say, you wake up. No, you don't wake up. You come to, and all night while you sleep or while you pass out, you are thinking about how I'm going to get high when my eyes open. It ain't no cut card in that. Ain't no, I'm going to do this, I'm going to go over here and pay a bill. No, ain't none of that. I'm going to watch the kids to school. No, ain't none of that either. When I wake up or come to, I'm going to get high. So that's how I learned about imbalance. Today, when I go to sleep, I think about a series of things. My mind thinks about a series of things which it could not do in my active addiction. So it shows me that now in my life I am adding some type of balance to my life because I'm beginning to think about a series of things I want to do. Before, I was in this box. I had put myself in a box and I couldn't think about but one thing to do, and that was destruction. That's all. And I didn't think of it in that terms. Because in my mind, I was still telling myself, I am trying to feel good consistently for the rest of my life. And if I live 150 years, I'll just keep shooting dope. And somewhere along the line, I will experience this happiness that I keep looking for in these little needles. I used to always wonder why every time I got out of jail and I used to see the monument, I used to go back to jail. I couldn't understand that. My mother passed some information on to me. She said, maybe because it looks like a big syringe standing up in the middle of the street over there. And when you see it, it hits a trigger and you got to go back. Because I was what? Out of balance. Balance means to me that my thinking process thinks things through. Y'all mighty quiet when I said that one. Balance means I think things through. When I'm out of balance, I don't think. The thought comes, and before I know it, the behavior is there. Nobody in this room has a behavior problem. I know a lot of y'all deal with that, though. I know you do. I'm going to change my behavior. Keep on changing it, and you keep behaving. Because it's out of balance. My behavior, there's something going to always be out of order with my behavior somewhere down the line. Because if you look at me long enough, you'll see that I think about the things that I do. Especially now. I've been clean for 24 years. So anything I want to get into now, I have a process of thinking that I do before I do it. I weigh it out before I tear my clothes now. Whereas before, I would stick my hand in the fire. Now I can walk past the stove and feel the heat and say, well, I don't know if I want to do that or not. Balance. I'm beginning to learn that I don't like pain as much as I thought I did. Especially with, that's another workshop altogether. What I was getting ready to say just now. All I'm saying is that once I learned what imbalance was, I could see where I was going. And I used to be under that illusion too, that I'm looking, I used to say that all the time to my sponsors. I used to tell them, man, when are you going to feel bad? He used to laugh at me. I used to wonder why he was smiling at me all the time. I said, man, I got to get some balance in my life. He's just looking at me like, okay. Yeah, you keep looking. When you realize it, he's just looking at me going, yeah. And I'm study saying that. And he said, Butch, do you realize in a 24-hour period, if you are not so much doing what you're supposed to do, but if you allow life to do its thing, you're going to pretty much be in balance because you're going to experience everything that day has for you to experience. What are you trying to duck? And Sandra said, because of my mentality for instant gratification, if I don't feel extremely good sometime during the day, my mind will tell me that I am out of balance. That, Butch, something is wrong with this picture. How many of you have felt good and got scared about it? Things start going right. I mean, the money, you make the job. I mean, you feel it. And all of a sudden you say, I got to fuck this up because something ain't right with this. I got to mess this up. I ain't no way. Because something ain't balanced, I got to tear this up. You don't know. If you feel good long enough, guess what? You're going to feel good and feel bad after a while anyway. You ain't got to mess it up. Because something going to come to screw it up anyway. Because that's what balance is about. You feel good for a little while. And that's why I tell people, but I feel good, man. What am I supposed to do? Feel it. When the last time you got in touch with that one? You felt bad for 20 years. I mean, what you mad about? Feel good for a minute. Because believe me, a storm is right around the corner. You ain't going to, you better remember this good feeling because you're going to need it when you get in trouble. Right, Teddy? I tell people that out there, I don't know what to do with it, man. I said, feel it, enjoy it, squeeze it, hold it, do whatever you got to make love. I don't care what you do with it, but you better hold on to it. Because when the stuff hit the fan, you're going to have to remember that feeling you had yesterday. You know what I mean? Because I had to call people and say, hey, man, how was I feeling yesterday? Because I sure feel screwed up right now. That's why you talk to people, because that's what balance is about. They say you share your bad, your good. And another thing, you know what gets a lot of us out of balance? Opinions. You know an old saying, opinion like a butthole, everybody got one. But guess what? Everybody butthole is different. So that don't mean opinion don't mean what? It don't mean nothing. And this programming didn't ask you about no opinion, did it? And I ain't seen a literature yet that said that. It says share your experience, strength, and hope. Ain't it about nobody's opinion? So it shows me that if I start listening to a lot of opinions, guess what I'm doing? I am subjecting myself to the same imbalance I was doing before I got here. Because that's what we used to do on the corner. Everybody had an opinion about drugs, but nobody could tell you what it would do to you. Nobody investigated to say, man, this stuff will kill your ass. And you study using it and going, and you know what, man? I feel all right. What's the most imbalanced thing I could do? To drink something smoke something, snort something, and the minute after you do it, you can't breathe, and you look your friend in the face and lie like a cheap watch and say, man, this shit is good, and you choking to death. You shoot heroin and then spit up all over your shoes and say, man, that's some good stuff. But you in sync, you know what I mean, Papa? You're all right. So it showed me, and that's what I'm talking about, imbalance. I made myself believe that imbalance was balance. So now, when y'all start trying to teach me, help me to walk through the process of being balanced again, I can't handle it because it means that I got to deal with me. I got to look at that guy in the glass. Give you another scenario. I do this with my clients at work one day when my son got me with this one. My son got shot in 92, right? And he paralyzed from waist down. And one day I was shaving, and he used to follow me around in his wheelchair. Because he liked talking to me. Why? I don't know. We both was ill, so I don't know why, you know. I got 6 daughters, too. That's some balance. They show you I wasn't drunk all the time. But anyway, I was in the bathroom shaving, and a lot of you guys can relate to this. And some women can relate to this, too. But I know y'all shave different places, so we're not going to go into those places y'all shave. Other than under your arms. But guys, when they're shaving their face, you ever notice guys come out of the bathroom bleeding like on? You ever notice you be coming out, some of us, you know, we be shaving, you come out there bleeding. Have you ever wondered why that happened? When are you planning on looking in that mirror? I looked at him, I said, what? He said, when are you planning on looking at what you're doing? I said, I am looking. He said, no, you're not. He said, I've been watching you for 5 minutes, man. He said, you looked in that mirror 3 times when you first put the leather on your neck, the first stroke. And he said, when you got around by your Adam's apple, you peeped again, and you turn your head and you keep shaving. And what I got in touch with, the part of my imbalance that was still present, was the fact that I couldn't face that guy in the glass. And when I did look, I became real frightened. Because one more time, I had not dealt with the man in the glass. He told me out of his mouth, he said, man, you got a sharp object in your hand, you could cut your throat. Because you are not really looking at what you're doing. And I never would have thought of that because I'm thinking the process, I think I'm looking. Until he actually said that and I actually had to look at me. I actually had to look into these gray eyes and get very uncomfortable about the guy that I was looking at in that glass because inside my stomach there was something there that I couldn't get in touch with. And what it was making me feel like I wasn't feeling like a human being anymore. And what he was trying to get me in touch was, man, if you don't fall in love with that guy in the glass, it's going to be a long time for you to experience anything like balance. So now I look. Well, now I don't have a choice. And one of the reasons is because I had an operation on this side of the neck and I don't feel too much over there, so I better damn sight look now. I can hear the razor, but I can't see what's going on. I can't feel nothing on this side. So I have to look. So I understand that when I mentioned animal shows in the beginning, what I relate that to is when I watch the lions and all that stuff that I like looking at, I watch them push their fledglings out into the world to grow. And now they keep saying, this is the way Mother Nature balances things. Some things must die, so some things must live, and that's a part of nature. So when we start losing people in the fellowship, it ain't personal, it's balanced, and it's just business. This is the way it's supposed to go. And it don't feel good. It just doesn't feel good, but this is balanced. When I duck balance, what I want to do is deny the very things that's going on in my life so I can continue to hide behind that mirror and say, you know what? I don't see this. I don't know what that's going on. So if I don't know it, what? I ain't got a feeling. So I'm out of balance. I don't get a chance to experience what grieving is because what I do is I deny that it even exists. So I'm out of balance. I lose somebody, and somebody asks me, say, how you feel about that? Oh, I'm all right. You know, it's okay. You know, it's in God's hand. And I know I'm mad about it, but I won't say anything. It's the same thing when we sit in these meetings a lot of times and start dictating what people should say. What you're doing is telling people, you don't need to talk. You don't need to become balanced. You need to shut down and keep all that sick stuff inside of you. So sooner or later, when you realize, we can talk about you. Because that's what we do to people. We help people stay out of balance. In the name of balance. Just be cool. Don't talk. Shut up. Don't say this. Don't say that. You know everything ain't for the rules. What the hell are you in here for? What are we going to do? We know that this fellowship works. I have seen people's experiences. I've been in here long enough to see that this thing really works. But it can't work without people. It doesn't work by itself. And in order for me to experience something, I need to have somebody to talk to, whether it's my sponsor, my network. If something comes out of my mouth in a meeting, I had learned a long time ago after about being clean for, I think it was my 10th year, I learned then that whatever comes out of my mouth, if it shoots up out of there and I can't stop it from coming, then it was meant to be said in the first place. Now, a lot of days what has happened to me, I used to share things with my sponsor, and he told me, he said, don't be surprised if you hear this again. I said, what, from you? He said, no, because somebody going to be going through the same thing in one of these meetings, and you're going to say it out loud. He said, because what's going to happen is it's going to set you free. I don't care what you say about me, really. I used to. I had real thin skin. Please don't talk about me. I'm in a room full of nuts, and I'm worried about what they're going to say. Everybody in the room screwed up. I'm looking at a whole room full of addicts, and I'm worried about what they're going to say. So you got a necktie on. I know you're crazy. All I got to do is listen to your story 5 minutes. And, yeah, I got a necktie on, but I killed 4 niggas last week. Hands all swollen up, face all swollen up. And you got a $300 suit on a jackass, and you worried about what they're going to say. Sure, they're going to talk about you. We got a network in here, and that's part of the balance. Man, yeah, they're going to talk about you. Share something and watch what happens. Get on the phone in a heartbeat. Did you hear what she said? You know her and so-and-so used to deal. Yeah, they're going to talk about you. And you do it too. I ain't gossiping. And you know, anything after butt is bullcrap. But that's how we go. And the reason why I'm saying that, because you can't take everything right here personal. Man, people talk about me like a dog. It don't stop me from sleeping, though. And it sure hasn't stopped me from eating anything. I got some balance, Joe. A little unbalanced now. Trying to tighten this thing up. But what I'm saying is, balance in itself consists of going through life just like life really is. And I have to keep saying that because I have to hear it. Now, you may not hear that, but I have to hear that because there, any day in my life, any in the course of a day, I say 8 hours. I ain't going to even go the whole 24 hours. In the course of an 8-hour day, have you noticed how many different things can happen in the course of an 8-hour day on your job somewhere? You may wake up in the morning feeling pretty sporty, go to work, everybody happy, you know, everything going. And about midday, you're about ready to kill everybody in the building. You're about ready to leave the job. And you and the boss might have been tight, and whoever you working with might have been. You've been looking at them sideways now. I don't know, bust this woman in his goddamn. You know. But you feel like something is wrong with that picture. Because your emotions make you feel like you have taken a turn for the worse. But that's not always true. Because maybe you needed to feel that. Have you ever thought about the fact that you may have needed to feel that? Later on, you feel pretty sporty. And a lot of times, I have done that and then got home and couldn't remember what I was mad about. So it showed me that, Butch, right now you need to live life on life's term. When I say term, what I mean is life is not going to stop doing what it's doing just because you don't want to do it no more. You can duck all you want to. Life is not going to quit because you want to quit. Have you ever noticed that everybody that you use with, if they still alive, they still use them. And when they see you, what they tell you? You look good, boy. Got something for you. And it's free. Until you get hooked again. And for them, that's what? Balance. That's balance for them. So I had to equate my past lifestyle to what I do now. And balance simply means, Butch, look straight down that line. And whatever bumps, humps, valleys that you have to go through to get where you're trying to go, then that's what balance is in your life. Because for one of the reasons is because it, now, at this physical age, I am 54 years old physically. Mentally, yeah, I don't know sometimes. All depends on what frame of mind I'm in when I wake up. Sometimes I'll clock out at 16, 17. Sometimes I'll hit 20 every now and then. And then I might pass 40. But I always go back for some reason or another. And what I'm talking about, I still allow my emotions sometimes to dictate how my day is going to be. And when I get back in sync with what's really going on, Butch, you are an adult. And no matter what your childish feelings are, bruh, you're going to have to act like what? An adult for a few minutes here until you can get home and act like a kid again. I also found out that balance in my life means that if I know that I am immature in some areas, then I have to nurture those areas that I'm immature in. So what I did was I bought myself a PlayStation. Oh, yeah. And when the little boy kick up, I know what to do with him now. I don't let him run out in the street and do what he used to do. See, what he used to do is take me out in the street. Bush, don't play with that. Let's play with those things. You know, them things that'll kill you. Let's go play with them things. So now I got a PlayStation, the Dreamcast. And what I do is I got the, you know, because I still got that violent thing going in your head. I got that 2001 where they, you know, where all the fighters beat each other till they bleed after death. And I can sit right in my front room and commit all the crimes I want because I ain't going nowhere. And after that feeling died down, I said, hey, boy, that was good. Now I can go to sleep. You know what I mean? Balance. You got to eat right. You got to sleep. You got to exercise. Let me say that again. Pop, pop, I'm not talking about you. Because he thinking about eating right now. Look. You've got to. And why you say, why you think they say have a balanced diet? Why you think they say that? You know why? Because it helps your attitude stay healthy. If you're happy, you notice the way the program hits you when you first got here, what did they tell you? You practice the thing what? Physically, mentally, and spiritually. And the reason why it says that, because if all three of those things are anywhere near, say, 20-30% working, you know, not working, but you into those things like that, guess what? You have a pretty good day. You can get mad, process that information, work through it, and go on about your business. And that's what balance is. Balance, man, sometimes causes some problems to go here because the mind wants to take the shortest route to ground. Anytime you get mad, you know what your mind want to do, right? Want to fight. Because that's what I'm used to doing. You piss me off, bust you in your mouth. But now if I got to think about that, do I fight? Do I talk? Do I confront? Do I try to work through this thing? I'm talking about balance now. I ain't talking about the stuff we used to do. Wait outside for you. Okay. Wait outside for you with a stick in my hand so I can split you, so I can try to balance, so I can split your head to see if it will balance. I ain't talking about that kind of balance. I'm talking about working through things. And a lot of days, I don't want to do that. So what I have to do is I have to tell somebody what I think about. I have to have somebody that I can tell what I'm thinking about. Because as long as I do that, I got a shot at the title. I tease people a lot of times. I say, as long as you're breathing, you got a shot at the title. And some people, you know, we talk about relapse around here quite a bit, and a lot of people relapse, you know. And I look at that as a form of balance, because maybe in somewhere in that person's psyche, somewhere maybe they didn't feel like they could do this time. We never know what's going on with this thing called addiction. This is the only disease I know that will tell you you ain't got it. It is. It's the only disease will tell you, man, you can be doing dirtball bad. And this disease will say, oh, you just having a string of bad luck. Don't worry about it. You can have it. I mean, you done lost everything. You live in the street and ain't got nowhere to go and cold and people ignoring you. And it'll tell you, oh, this is just a string of bad luck. You mean tell me I've been having bad luck for the last 20 years? I mean, something's supposed to change here somewhere, don't it? So what I'm saying to you is I know that I have to understand that my emotions play a part. My mind plays a part. And what I have to do is when these things feel like they're going the other way, I can't escape it. I try my damnedest, man, to stand still long enough to tell somebody where I'm at, where my head is. Not so much that I'm looking for instructions, but I'm looking for a way now to walk through what I need to walk through so I can grow a little bit more. I may not even recognize the growth until I've gotten past that point, and that's usually what happens anyway. You don't recognize what you've done until after you've done it, most times. But this is a heck of a space to be in. And what I mean by that, and I don't mean that in a negative way. What I mean by a heck of a space to be in, this is the only thing I've seen in my life, not the only thing, but one of the only things I've seen in my life that has afforded me the opportunity to do that. Where I don't have to feel like I'm going to be judged or chastised for what I have or have not done. This is the greatest form of love that I've ever experienced in my life. And they call it a mother's love. Because you know how your mother used to do. She'd tell you, I'm going to kill you. And then in the same breath, she'd say, bud, you're my baby. And I love you. But I'm going to whip your ass right now. You're going to get this whipping. Ain't no question. Because I promised you this last week, so you're going to get it today. But that doesn't stop me from caring about you. And that's the way I look at the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. When I go in the room, sometimes I don't have to say nothing, which is very seldom. For me anyway, you know. But I don't have to say anything. A lot of days I can see the familiar faces, the people who have helped me get through my life, the people who have helped me save my life. A few years ago, in 96, I was diagnosed with head and throat cancer. And it's a lady in this room helped save my life. So I know what that means, too. You know what I'm saying? But if I had never made myself available, where would I be today? And I almost died twice after that. So what I'm saying to you is, you ain't got to find balance. Just allow balance to happen. No matter what you think it is, just allow it to happen. Because it's not something you can search for. If you're not sure what it is, just ride the bus. You know how you do. You get on the bus and you watch the trees go by. You're in your car on the way up here. I watched things. It was dark, but you know, you're riding down the highway and you kind of watch. And I let my mind play out. I let my thoughts play out. And guess what? By the time I got here, I felt pretty good. Because I allowed myself to think about some things. And that's what balance is, allowing yourself to do whatever you need to do. But doing what you have to do. Getting past a certain point in your life, doing what you have to do. How many of you ever go to meetings and say, you know you didn't feel like going, but you went anyway? And after you left, you felt pretty good, didn't you? I mean, it wasn't about solving your problem, though, was it? It didn't solve your problem, but you felt pretty good. You know why? Because you did something over against the old you. The old you would have turned around and went home and looked at television. And that's what balance is. I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to shut up. A guy told me one time, he said, if you want to meet a spiritual person with balance, look at yourself when you rise above your present condition to do things that you really don't want to do, and you do them anyway. He said that's the first step and the largest step you'll take towards being a spiritual human being. He said because spiritual people rise above their conditions to do what they really, really need to do, whether they want to or not. He said, if you want to experience the beauty of this fellowship, keep doing that one. He said, and you'll begin to understand what balance is in your life. And then when the storms come, like you, I know some of you have had grandparents where you're when they used to sing them old spiritual songs, you know, and you ask them, say, how you feel? And they say, well, I done had all these operations, my body hurt, this going on. And what they say after that? They say, but God got me and I ain't even worried about it. You know what that is? That's balance. Because they know that no matter what happened, they're going to be okay. And that's what we have to know. Each time we come, we have to know that too. And thank y'all for letting me share.
I'm still an addict. My name's Alfred. And I want to thank both our speakers, Sandra and Butch, for giving us a message of hope today. I gave somebody just for today.